Hello, it's Lisa and Pete, and on today's edition of The Catch-Up.
Andrew from Married at First Sight, he's a firefighter. He's had a runaway bride, now he's hooked up with someone else's missus on the show, and did I mention he's a firefighter?
Yeah.
A suitcase that follows you around the airport, Pete, we'll tell you about it shortly.
And men, including Andrew the firefighter, we've been putting cologne on wrong all this time. I'll tell you why, plus we'll take your calls on other things we've been doing wrong too. Anything else you want to add?
Andrew the firefighter. Help.
The perfect drive home is with Lisa and Pete. And the perfect kitchen is with APG Homes. Get 25K to customise the kitchen of your new two-storey with their Kitchen Flair and Air promotion. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
Married at First Sight, it's back tonight on Nine. We're joined now by the firefighter, Andrew.
I know, I was like, I can't help it.
Yeah.
I'm a girl. Firefighters, you know, it's that whole protective thing. We just respond to the word.
First response, speaking of firefighters. Hey, Andrew.
How you going?
Hello, Andrew. Good. It's lovely to have you here.
Yeah, wow. How's it going? Because, wow, it's been a ride for you, hasn't it?
It certainly has.
Right,
yeah,
in the middle of it, actually, as we watch, you know, last night and tonight. And,
absolutely. Mm. Look, yeah, I came from a dramatic start and it just seems to get even more and more dramatic.
Let's just recap Andrew's start, the runaway bride.
Lauren.
There was something there. You know, sometimes I wonder if some people maybe go on this show to find love and some people are maybe giving some kind of last minute ultimatum to someone else. Like, here I am getting married to someone else, last chance. And I fear that might have happened with her. So anyway, better off
think of that.
Dodged a bullet there. Then we find you another couple were perhaps definitely not meant to be. And at the dinner party, the two of you just seem to find each other, you and Cheryl, I'm talking about. And that's what we're in the middle of at the moment. Are we going well? Are we happy? Can't give too much away, of course.
No, I wouldn't give too much away. Yeah, things are going quite well. We had a couple of dates and I really enjoyed myself. It was a real positive to come out of something that was negative earlier on for me in the whole experiment, so to speak. But yeah, interesting night at the dinner party.
Very interesting night at the dinner party. I have a picture in front of me of the interesting person, of course, as we all know. Let's not mince words. Anthony was proving himself to be a very odd guy last night.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand these shows are edited and sometimes people can look worse than they maybe are. Was he that bad?
Look, I'm going to be biased because he's one of the boys.
Yeah.
To be honest, Anthony's a real gentleman. He does tell her how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as as much as you see him being direct with maybe some controversial comments, he is direct about being a gentleman too. So he'll be the first one to grab a door or you know, offer his seat and that sort of thing as well. So he is a gentleman.
Good to know because he looked a bit ordinary last night.
Bit of a difference from the last seasons that we've seen Married at First Sight. I mean, one, you're all pretty much in the same building having a weekly get together. And two, then, you know, you've got in front of everybody else a couple's catch up in front of the three experts. Is that awkward being like talking about all your feelings in front of all of the other people that you're sharing that time with?
You're married? What do you reckon?
Actually, good point. I do it every afternoon of the show. But I don't have, you know, 15, 20 other people who are in relationships doing the same thing, sort of watching me at the time.
Look, it's such a unique experience overall. I mean, getting married at first sight is awkward itself. So sitting down in front of your peers or what become your peers is probably a step down from marrying someone in front of your friends and family and some strangers to somebody you've never met before.
Mm.
Am I justified in feeling sorry for the bloke who's with Debbie? Like, the reason why I say this, right,
is Debbie had very specific requirements.
What was she after
served
out. I forget.
It was after a scene out of South Pacific.
But the other thing is, with those get-togethers, they give you the option, do you stay or do you leave? And it's kind of like a ball and chain if the other person says to you, no, I want to stay, because you have to stay for another week.
And that almost happens in real life, doesn't
it? Exactly. Interesting and awkward at the same time.
Poor old John. He is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. If I looked right into it, I could probably see why they were matched. There's going to be reasons, but my heart goes out to him. You can just see he's done all he can. He's such a wonderful, positive, fun bloke. As genuine as you can see on, you know,
you can tell
TV.
That from his family too. They seem like good people. And I don't know, I doubt things are going to work out for John and Debbie. But just in case, there's a show on the Current Affair tonight actually about how many women are clamouring to go pick me in case it doesn't work.
Oh, that's great.
So if you want to get on the list, Current Affair tonight.
And look, of course, don't forget to catch Married at First Sight as well. An absolute pleasure having you in here, mate. Thanks for coming in and sharing your story.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Lise, a good smelling bloke.
Yes. Oh, you can't beat it.
Can't beat a good smelling bloke.
Can't beat a good smelling bloke.
A man who knows his musk. And that man is...
From his muskiness.
And that man is Olivia Guillotin.
Oh, tell us about Olivia.
He's the senior perfumer at, I'm going to say Givaudan in the US. His cousin's a perfumer at Chanel.
I can't help you. I don't have the information.
He studied in France.
Right.
All of this other sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows his way around fragrances and perfumes for men.
Right.
Right. Now, typically, as a bloke, I've always known that when you use cologne, you spray a little bit on the wrists.
And the pulse points.
Yep.
A bit on the wrist, a bit behind the ears. Same as women. Ears. Although we're supposed to spray into the air and walk through it, but pocket that, I'm not wasting it.
And we do a little bit of that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And, you know, like I do maybe... If I've had a shave, I'll do sort of one along the neck or something like that as well. Right?
Yeah, so do that.
A parfum.
Yeah.
Let us go outside.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Right? Okay. Well, that's right, isn't it?
No, wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong, according to Olivier Guillotin. This is where...
Well, then how are you supposed to do it?
This is where you're meant to be actually spraying it, right?
Uh-huh.
Your inner thighs.
Hey?
Yeah. So forget everything you've ever known.
I think he's got an agenda.
No, he's...
I don't want to comment on it, but...
That's it, serious. You're in a thighs. And he doesn't say you're in a thighs and then walks off. He's got a reason. This is the reason why, right? You have two big arteries there.
The femoral.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the one that you can... Yeah, no, right. Go on.
And it's one of the warmest parts of the body. And I mean, I suppose that's how it works.
So
as you warm up, the warm blood pulsing and everything sort of warms everything up, and it gets those fragrances firing.
Yeah, you put on a pair of corduroys and you've damn well got fire down there. Just about.
But this is the thing. For all these years, according to this guy who is a senior perfumer who has done this stuff all his life, blokes, we've been doing it wrong.
Oh.
We're meant to be putting it on our thighs and then just letting it sort of bake down there for a little while. I want to know, right? Do you know something that we as the general sort of public are doing wrong?
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
This would have seemed an obvious one to us, but apparently we're lacing our shoes wrong.
Yeah.
Do explain.
We were always taught as kids, my grandparents that grew up on property, that when you lace your shoes, you put the lace through from the top eyelet near your ankle, and then you lace it across down to the bottom eyelet on the opposite side, way towards your toes.
So you go from ankle to toe rather than toe to ankle?
Yeah, and then you make the lace at your toe longer, and then you just use that lace to go over and lace your whole shoe using that lace going over across.
So why is that, Christine?
Well, we were always told as kids that when living on properties and stuff, if you're bitten by a snake or you had a foot injury or something happened, that in emergencies they can just slip a knife straight under and cut your laces without, they reckon it's harder if they're crisscrossed.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right, that makes sense, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Carissa in Kelmscott, what are we doing wrong, Carissa?
Well, we're all crossing our legs wrong.
Crossing our legs wrong.
Yeah, we shouldn't be crossing our legs at all.
No,
I bet you everyone who crosses their legs have lower hip problems and lower back. So, yeah, it's a big, big, big no-no.
I've heard so many things like it can cause varicose veins, it can cause this, and I'm a shocker because I usually cross the same leg.
Right.
It's always the right one that goes across the left, and I am starting to get a bit of a sore right leg, and I reckon that's what it is.
Is that your weather knee?
Yeah, it is my weather knee as well. My right knee is just a write-off. I need one of that 5-year-old knees.
Now you know the reason, so don't be a good Catholic girl. Uncross your legs, ladies, and even some blokes too. So.
I'm not flexible enough to cross my legs, so that's the one time it actually works in my favour. Thanks, Carissa.
Thanks, Carissa.
No worries.
Robotic suitcase, Lise.
This is a marvellous idea.
Isn't it just?
How often have you struggled along with your suitcase at the airport? Usually your fabulous wheels, one will go wonky and won't go in the road, becomes like a shopping trolley.
It's a pain in the backside.
And they're heavy, lugging them around. Mm-hmm. Well, the genius team behind the Vespa scooter has now turned its hand to robotic luggage. Piaggio, fast forward, have created a robotic personal butler that carries your belongings for you. Basically, it's your suitcase on a remote control and it follows you. It tags along behind.
It looks like a compost bin.
It is round. It seems like an odd thing to be packing into the cargo hold.
A big barrel or a cylinder. That's the thing. Like, because usually in the cargo hold, it's all sort of squares and rectangles.
Well, if we all had these, there's a lot of space. Yeah. It's going to go sort of to waste. But it's called the Geeta, and it can track its owner and roll along behind them.
It's pretty
annoying
good.
Little thing.
But this whole thing, the other thing that they reckon that it can do for you, it can even do your shopping
hilarious.
For you as well if you want.
Oh, how's it going to do my shopping?
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, okay, it might roll along and serve as the, you know, the trolley, but it's not going to go in. How does it put the money in?
Self-service checkouts.
And how's it do it? Pull out its little pay pass.
I have
no idea. It's
crazy.
It's a wonderful idea, but don't think that the airlines won't be straight onto it as a way of getting us, because now they'll have fees for carry-on and follow-on.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Get more Lisa and Pete for the drive home and get more than 40 grand added value in your new two-story with APG Homes Kitchen Flair and Air promotion for a limited time.